Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. I have with me, as always, the wonderful Dave Arcade.
Thanks, Andrea. I'm Dave Arcade, an artist on the Closer and Closer roster. But enough about me, because it is my pleasure to introduce today's guest. Hilary Jackendoff is a yoga, nidra, and meditation teacher, trainer, and human design reader. She's been featured for her work around stress reduction and sleep in Refinery 29, Business Insider, and on Good Morning America. Her work is focused on sharing powerful, pragmatic, and accessible practices and teachings to encourage inner harmony, ease, and joy. When working or practicing with Hilary, expect a blend of no-nonsense, applicable wisdom, and plenty of laughs, because the spiritual doesn't have to be so serious.
Hello, Hilary. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited. Hilary is a dear friend of Kelsey from the CNC team. And, you know, as you heard in her intro, she is an absolute multi-hyphenate. I don't know if that's how you say that word. So I'm super excited to dig into everything that you do, because there's a lot here. We could probably do like four episodes, just us three.
I would love that, honestly. That would be awesome. Super fun.
What was awesome. The word you just said? A multi-what?
Hyphenate? Have you never heard that?
No, but Hilary, why don't you tell us what that is? Apparently, we read the intro that already, so we should know. Yeah. Yeah, what's a multi-hyphenate? Am I hearing that right?
Yeah.
Like a hyphen. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like when you do like a bunch of different things, like when you kind of wear many hats, you
that
know,
makes
like
sense.
Like so my multi-hyphenateness is like meditation teacher trainer, human design obsessed reader, you know, so it's like, oh, sorry, I just hit my mic.
You're all good.
Yeah, so that the multi-hyphenate is wearing
you do it all.
Different creative yeah. Helpful hats.
Love it.
It's like, it's like a Renaissance man, but you don't want to be called a Renaissance man. And, exactly. And no one ever says Renaissance woman, so you're a multi-hyphenate. That's way more sci-fi. I like it.
I don't think anyone even says Renaissance man anymore.
I'm a Renaissance man.
That's weird. Okay. Anyways, speaking of everything that you do, I feel like on the podcast before we've had, you know, a sleep expert, I think a couple meditation teachers, but we've never had somebody on that does human design reading. And ever since Kelsey told me about you, I've been wondering what that even is. And I wanted to hear it from you since you seem to be the expert on it.
Apparently we don't know anything about you and you're on our podcast.
Perfect. Hey, I wanted to save it. But yeah, could you tell us a little bit about what that is and like what you practice with it?
Yeah. So I think... So this is sort of like my newest skill set that I've been honing, for the last just a little over 2 years. So human design is essentially, a synthesis of a lot of different kind of esoteric mystical systems. So, you know, systems that are intended to help us understand ourselves better and understand our energy better and how we optimally operate in the world as ourselves in our most natural way. So the human design sort of system focuses on sort of how you naturally operate energetically, how opportunities come to you, how you can make the most of those opportunities and sort of be in the most harmony with life, with the flow of life, how to make decisions using your intuition, becoming more deeply attuned to your body, listening to your body, rather than making decisions with your mind, rather than doing that thing where we, like, you know, make the pros and cons list. And even when the pros list is six times as long as the cons list, we're like, but I still feel that it's the other one, you know, like it's like learning to trust that instinct rather than cognition, rather than like the thinking mind, because we know that the thinking mind steers us wrong. We know that many of the thoughts that we think are not true. The thoughts we think about the world, the thoughts we think about ourselves, you know, every spiritual system teaches us to get a little bit more distance from the mind. It teaches us not to be so wrapped up in identification with our thoughts, our beliefs, because they're often incorrect, right? It's incorrect perception. And yet we try to live our life from the mind anyway, right? Because we don't have something else to explore. We don't have another sort of method for making decisions. So human design provides a really, really, really cool foundation on which you can start to experiment and explore what it would be like, what your life would be like, how you would feel if you started to live in greater alignment with what is you. So it sort of shows you what is consistently expressed by you energetically, as well as, you know, areas in your life where you might have sort of picked up beliefs or ways of being based on like society, your family. It's called conditioning in human design. So it, all of these different sorts of pieces of sort of self-inquiry come together to show you how you can best live as yourself. And so it's kind of a lot to take in. It's, I'm still like medium at explaining it to people, like very medium. But for me personally, when I first learned about it and I learned what my energy type is, so there's like five different types of sort of energies that people sort of naturally carry, that then relates to how they best interact with the world, how they make decisions, etc. And when I first learned about what my energy type was, I was like, oh, so this is why I've felt so weird my whole life. This is why I've felt so different and so unable to function in society.
Yeah.
Like everything came together, and like it was like this weight of compare and despair, and like this weight of, you know, should based thinking about who I am and how I should live my life was just like lifted in an instant. And I felt free to be me.
Tell us our energy type. Tell us our energy type.
She doesn't work for free, Dave.
No, just go for it. Just do it.
It doesn't work for free. But how do you go about like determining your energy type? Like, do you have like, can you do this for yourself? You know, yeah. Can you do it for yourself? Do you have to go see an expert? Like, how does it work?
It's birth data based. So like astrology, it's a chart based system. And it incorporates astrology. It's like kind of woven into the system, as well as a few other things. So you can get your body graph, it's called. That's what your chart is called in human design. So you can get your body graph by inputting your birth data at like any number of free sites. So mybodygraph.com, there's apps, there's so many different places where you can just input that data and get that information. But when you get the information, it comes back like it's like a different language. It takes quite a lot of, you know, time and energy to sort of figure out what it all means. And all the information, for the most part, all the information to kind of like help you on a basic level is available online. Like you can, you know, you can read blogs, you can, and you can find all that information. It just, it's just can take a lot.
There's
of
a lot.
to understand what you're looking at and understand how to apply it to your life. But yeah, it's definitely a system that is well worth exploring and experimenting with, because it's actionable, you know, and it takes you beyond the mind. And for me, that's really one of the most essential things, in self-inquiry and in the creative process, right? Like to learn how to trust that part of you that is beyond cognition, that part of you where you're like a channel, where you're receiving information from whatever it is.
Yeah.
But to get out of your own way, you know?
What's an example of this? I'm putting you on the spot. It's like, create a whole scenario, but like a creative person who is kind of dependent on them. I mean, we all are. It doesn't even have to be a creative example, but like getting out of your mind. Once you get out of your mind, what are you acting on? Like, what's informing the next decision? Like, kind of talk us through that a little bit.
So it depends on the different, it depends on what your energy type is. It depends on it's called your inner authority. It depends on what your inner authority is. So for me, for example, my strategy, like how I best operate in relation to life and the universe, is to wait for the invitation. So I don't go out and try to make things happen, and I never have.
Yeah.
So that, like, I never understood why I didn't feel able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever invitations come to me and when I sense that they're aligned invitations, then I go forward with that. So like, for example, this podcast, right? Like I got this invitation in my inbox and I was like, oh, here's an invitation for me to share things with the world. I sat with it. Like, I didn't write back right away. I was like, I don't have a clear yes or no on whether I should do this podcast yet. And then, like, usually what happens for me is I have like this quiet kind of intuitive hit. And it usually comes when I'm alone, when I'm like either in nature, whether I'm out for a walk, maybe when I'm journaling, when I'm watching my birds. And in those moments, in these like little quiet moments, I get like a yes or no. Like, I can like feel it. I'm like, I got to reply to that email. Like, that's a hard yes. Like, I'm going to reply to that email right now.
Yeah.
Because in this moment I have the answer.
Yeah. So you wait, like you feel it out.
So sometimes I get my intuitive hit immediately on something and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
So it's like an in the moment sort of experience. But like, I can also, as like a more clear example, maybe. I don't know if I'm giving clear examples at all.
I hope that was clear.
No, you said something that hit real close, but I'm going to let you go and then I'll explain.
On my next example that may or may not land. So I also get like the way my inner authority functions. I also get clear in the moment hits, or like in places, in situations, in parties, events. Like, I have absolutely walked into a party and walked out. Like, I'm like, this isn't the place for me. Like, this is not where I'm going to be free to be me, basically. You know, like, I feel this like experience in my body and I'm like, this is a no. Same thing with restaurants, right? Like, I love not using Yelp when you're going out to eat. Like, if you're like in a city or a town visiting and you're like, okay, where should we eat dinner? Where should we eat lunch? And instead of like going on Yelp and being like, I'll go to the one with the best reviews, the five stars, I'll look at all the photos. And instead of doing that, because that's mind-based, right? Instead of doing that, like, no, let's wander around the town. and walk into different restaurants and feel it out and see if it's a yes or a no. And you know immediately. You walk into a restaurant and you're like, this is it, right?
Yeah.
So that's like kind of a real world example of how I sort of use
that knowledge of yourself.
That knowledge. Yeah. Like I've let go of that tendency to try to think my way into clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, wow, that's, it's like revolutionary in the time that we live in to wait, to take kind of the scenic route, if you will, because everybody is in such a rush. How does that coincide with the people in your life? Like, are they like, come on, like, we got to choose a restaurant here. Like, this is crazy. Or is it, I guess you wouldn't hang around people like that. It sounds like you've chosen your lane and that's that. Like, and you just, if somebody doesn't fit, then they don't fit. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'd say so. And my husband's pretty patient, and he also has the same type of decision making. We're the
awesome
type and the same decision making. And he's very linear, very logical. Like he is, we don't have a lot in common in that way. Mm-hmm. but like he's learned the language. He's learned kind of how to understand human design because he's like, oh, if this is something you're doing, like I'm gonna have to explain this to my family. Like if this is something that's like, you know, yeah, this is harder to explain than Hillary teaches meditation.
Totally.
Okay. So he's like come up with ways to understand it and ways to explain it to people. And he's also kind of like messes with me on it now, like because our inner authority is like this in the moment clear, like yes or no, intuitive hit. And I'll be like, can you make me some coffee? And he'll be like, that's a splenic no. And I'm like,
you're like, come on.
Like, man.
Doesn't your inner authority want to think about it a little more?
You're trusting. Yeah, exactly. Like, can't you use your mind on this one?
That is so funny. But I love the examples that you gave because I can see this being like so useful for creatives. Like I always think about, you know, especially during the season, because typically like the beginning of the year for our artists tends to be like a lot slower and, you know, there's not as many inquiries coming in. So they're kind of just sitting like waiting around a lot. And something we see a lot now is that artists we keep track of like a bunch of different metrics at Closer and Closer, but something that happens at the beginning of the year is that our win-loss ratio will go up because artists are just like taking any project that comes in because they're scared that, you know, they're like, nothing's coming in right now. And like, who knows if they'll ever start coming in. And I could see something like this being so helpful. Like that's a very specific example, but just across the board and like so many experiences that our artists face, because it's just trusting, like instead of just using your thinking mind and being like, you know, but like, what if an inquiry never comes in again? And like, this is it for the rest of my life. And, you know, I need the money. Just having that second to think and not even think, but just, you know, trust your intuition, taking a step back, not using your thinking brain, and then coming to a decision based on like what you're feeling would be so much more useful and like so much more creatively fulfilling in the moment than like, you know, just taking a job because you're scared or because you are uncertain.
For sure.
Yeah, while you were talking, I was just already thinking of like a million different examples where I was like, you know, our artist should read a little bit more about this because I think it would be really useful for that.
I do what you're talking about. Like, really? I'll get an inquiry. Yeah, you know, it's $2,300 to draw a ton of stuff. Ooh. And I'm like, I don't want to. It's like, that's my house payment, but I don't want to draw a bunch of stuff right now. I want to work on this thing I'm working on. And another job will come in. Now there's no like science to that, but it really does bring me a lot of, it secures my happiness is what it does. If I am operating on fear, like you're talking about, Andrea, like that job's going to suffer for sure. And I'm not going to do good work for the client. It's going to be a total nightmare. I took a job in 2019, I believe. Was it? Or was it 18 and it spilled into 19? It might have been 18 that spilled into 19. And it was, I'll just talk about the project real quick. This is a tangent, but it's cool. It was a kind of a Where's Waldo for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is, you know, childhood, like, I watched the movie like 20 times during the project and realized it's such a stupid movie now. Like, people, kids from the 80s have the most biased, like, rose-colored glasses. It's like, oh, 80s was like Chrome and Lightning and like really cool songs and like hamburgers with airbrushes. It's like, no, it was really ugly pants, like mom jean pants and terrible movies that were produced by coked up producers. Like, the 80s was so just cocaine, just cocaine and let's make something. What was I talking about?
Except for the Princess Bride.
No, Prince of Bridesmaid. Yeah, there's some great stuff, but it's the Nostradamus effect. It's like that dude was able to predict things because he made predictions about everything. And so the 80s, we'll make everything and some stuff will stick. Most of the 80s is total garbage if you look at that. But then you have like Aha, Princess Bride, and Air Jordans. Anyway, guys, what was I talking about?
Bill and Ted.
Oh, Bill
and Ted. Your project.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. The book's right there. It lasted for months. Okay, and then Bill and Ted's not a fun book to draw. It had to be like each, you know, kind of scene from the movie. So one of them was Waterloo. Have you ever Googled where Waterloo was fought?
No.
Well, so if you're fighting a battle in the olden days, you definitely want to fight in a giant flat field. And that's all it is. And so as an artist, I'm like, cool. It's like a guy trying to get his bearings in like a dark room. It's like, it's flat. So I can only fill the canvas with endless stuff all the way to the horizon, which is drawing way too much stuff in an already kind of busy format, which is a Where's Waldo type book. And the same with like the Socrates scene. It's like, I got to draw a freaking bunch of people on these. Anyway, I realize I don't like drawing people at all. And by the end of the project, I was a shell of a man. It was the worst thing. I would have rather like a vicious Wolverine just started ripping at my genitals and you know, like, oh man, I took some damage there. Maybe even like lost the testicle. Like, I would have rather lost, seriously, than do that job. And by the end, I had this crazy deadline. And Drew was over it. And he's like, Dave, dude, if you can't hit this deadline, man, you might have to part ways. So it got bad, right? And I realized that no amount of money can compensate for happiness.
Yeah.
I was so angry for like 6 months because of that stupid book. And if a Wolverine just tore my testicle out, at least I would have gone to the hospital. I would get sewn up. I'd be good in 3 weeks.
You would have gotten some good sleep too, you know, like it would have been a nice rest.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Gosh, that was a long tangent just to say, I just wanted to complain about that project. I want that project to be made into a person so I can beat the shit out of that person.
That's like, I mean, that's the thing though, like as creatives, I mean, I identify as a creative, even though like I'm, you know, a wellness entrepreneur, whatever, like it's like, I am a creative, like I have 1,000 ideas. Like if you saw my desktop, you would have an anxiety attack. Like I do steal all the books. If you saw my, like, yeah, I'm a creative. Yeah. I come from a very creative family. My brother's a Marvel writer. My dad's a sculptor. Oh, like, wow. Like, jeez. You know, like, this is a,
yeah.
But as creatives, that tendency, like, to take jobs and projects on that might not be in alignment is real. And then for me, like, I get super bitter about projects that I've taken on that haven't been correct for me. And like, as soon, you know, and I always take on the project in like, okay, this is a good fit. Like, this is the right thing to do. My husband's like, we do have a mortgage payment. It's like, we live in LA. So there is that kind of feeling of like, okay, what if another project doesn't come? So I'm just going to take this, like, it won't be that bad. And then, you know, the energy like that you have while you are creating something, that energy goes into that thing, right? Yeah. You know, and then you're putting a thing out into the world that is not in alignment with what you want to put out there. It doesn't reflect your gifts. It doesn't reflect, you know, your skills as something else might that you were really deeply aligned with. And obviously sometimes we have to take projects on that are just for the money. But there is a level of like, of knowing that is so helpful, like, so that you can kind of manage your energy around whatever you do commit to, right? Like, and what you were saying, Andrea, about like decision making, I wanted to circle back because this came up. Sometimes, like, one of the other kinds of like decision making strategies is like, sometimes, you know how like some people are more emotional than others, right? Like, we all know emotional creatives. We all know like people that seem to kind of not be ruled by their emotions, that people that kind of like a little bit of a Teflon vibe emotionally. borderline.
I love that.
but for folks that have that emotional tendency in human design, if that's their like decision-making strategy, emotional authority, it's called, they actually are meant to wait until all emotions pass through them to make a decision. So it's like, you know, it's like, sleep on it, but maybe like sleep on it for like a week.
Wow.
Because if you're still feeling emotions around a decision, then you need to wait until you come to emotional neutrality to make a decision. So like, I know people that have emotional authority and have made very emotional decisions in business that have not supported their career.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, do not send that email.
Yeah.
Do not send that text.
Oh, I've sent that email so many times.
Right. Cause that's like, right. That's the pattern, right?
Yeah.
Like we think that that's like being who we are. We think that that's what's correct for us.
That's keeping it real. Yeah.
Like, if you sit with it and you release the charge, you let time pass to release that charge, then you can figure out what is actually correct for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an in the moment decision. So like, some decision making strategies are in the moment and others are not at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was talking to my wife about passion the other day and how it's explained wrong growing up. There's like, passion's a good thing and find something you're passionate about, but they don't tell you that the other side of passion is your worst nightmares and rage and fury and shooting a man you caught with your wife. It's just like, well, I think anyone would do that. But the other side of passion is the problem with, if you're a passionate person, it's the problem with most of your problems. It's just like, I've gotten so mad, so pissed off. Like, I'm in a band called the Fury Lords. We're not really a band. We're a Dropbox band because a guy lives in Canada. But this idea of fury, like, is hilarious to the people that I make music with, because, except for Mark, Mark's very stoic, but Chris and I, like, thinking about how furious I get sometimes, it's absurd. Like, I feel like it could power a city in a bad way. And so it's so easy for me to, like, type up that email. I've gotten a lot better, by the way.
Yeah.
But that other side of passion, just like, oh, really? So you think that that's the correct thing to do? Well, I'm the artist here, you stupid. Like, it's never that, right? But it could be.
Or it might be 20 years ago, you know? Yeah.
I mean, but Drew has helped me a lot with this, and the other people who recognize that I might have something to offer. All of them have had comments on my temper. Now, I don't hit anybody, but the walls.
Thanks for the clarification.
Office, well, can you see that knuckle?
Yeah.
I was working.
I don't see anything. Your video has been frozen the whole time.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm just looking at, like, a picture of your face. So if, like,
I see Dave.
If at any point you're like, am I boring her? No, I just, like, I'm just trying not to, like, awkwardly stare at your face.
What a revelation.
Am I, like, seriously frozen?
I can see you.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting. It's just, like, you like this in the screen, like.
That is so lame. It makes me want to, how do we fix that? It's so important that you see me live. No. My knuckles have a big old chunk out of them, and there's this scab because 2 days ago after my computer made the most beautiful colors I've ever seen in a flash, and then everything crashed and I lost my work. And I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, I've never seen a crash like that before. I don't know why I've destroyed like 4 fans, like the things that blow on you. They're the first thing I attack.
Dave.
And so this one was so hilarious, and I'm not saying I'm powerful. It was comical. I punched it and it flew apart.
Wow.
And I was just like, what just happened? Like, that fan is such a piece of crap. But good grief. Punching fans. Like, I mean, what if the blade came out and, like, cut my throat or something?
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not an aligned decision, Dave.
Yeah. So I will punch the hell out of a fan, but I have learned to wait on the emails. I had Jerrica called me out on the way that I was spicy with a client in an email last week. And
Jerrica's one of his agents, by the way.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know.
And I didn't think she was right at first. And then I talked to Megan, our producer, and she's like, no, Jerrica's right. And I listened to her. And then I talked with Jerrica and I apologized. And so as long as you're punching the hell out of fans in the background, and then with your relationships, you are, you know, swallowing your pride, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like you are an emotional being, as it's called.
Well, I told you about how I quickly unscrewed the arm of my microphone holder off my desk.
Yeah.
Moral of the story is me and Dave need to go figure out what our type is after this, and we'll send it over to you, Hiller, and see if we're right.
Oh my God. Well, there goes my day.
This is a question. This is a question, I guess, though. So I've never been able to fix this. Is it possible, if you are just volcanic, to get rid of that? I can't imagine ever getting rid of it. I can only imagine what I'm doing, which is managing it. But what are your thoughts? Like, is there a giant ice cube out there that I can stuff in this thing?
I mean, honestly, like, if you're managing it and you're not taking it out on any people in your life, and it is just a natural expression of your energy and how things move through you, then I don't know that there's much to be done. I mean, you know, obviously, like,
I don't think so either. I think you're right. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that, like, ad nauseum, like, because it's a very curious being. And my energy type is such that I really want to know people, like, really, really deeply.
Yeah, me too.
All I care about is like understand people and help them get to know themselves better and live better lives. Like, that's all I care about personally. Like, it's like, so I could go into the weeds with you on this for like hours. But in the short form, my instinct is that trying to suppress our natural tendencies, like, unless they're causing us great suffering and we don't have the tools to manage them, where they're causing others great suffering or minimal, medium suffering. Letting yourself be natural and like, and understanding that that's just how you process experiences. That's just how you process life. Like, it's what's natural for you. Like, it's certainly... it's as long as it's not causing harm, right? Mm-hmm. If it's causing you suffering or if it's causing others suffering, then figure something else out.
Like, it's causing fans suffering.
Well, then, you know, you must pay tribute to the fan gods
and move forward.
There's this artist that punches his fans and followers.
I know, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. Fans. The physical object of a fan.
The inanimate fan object.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that philosophy.
It's a helpful system. At least it has been for me. I mean, you know, it's fun to explore and it gives some really pragmatic guidance on how to manage your energy. And also for me, it's helped me understand my creative process. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I have like this thing in my body graph. Like I don't have the ability to like internally put pressure on myself. Like, I only work if there's an external deadline. I only work if there's like something outside of me putting some sort of time-bound pressure on me to finish a project. Mm-hmm. I mean, I also work on my own, but like, I am most motivated creatively when there is an external deadline. And I know that like my creative process, I have a lot of like I go into the weeds. Mm-hmm. Deeply. Like, I have, if I'm trying to sort of execute an idea or a project or a vision, it takes me a very long time. My creative process is very long. Like, it's because I have to like explore every single thread of an idea before I can figure out the big picture, before I can actually figure out what it is I'm doing, what I'm actually creating. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to like get down into the roots and like dig around in the roots. And then I have to, and then I'm like, oh, but all these roots, I see all of these roots, they're going everywhere. And how could I possibly, you know, paint a tree? I don't paint. Like, how could I possibly paint a tree without knowing where every single one of its roots go?
Yeah, you know, totally.
So, like, my process is really challenging. But like, before, like, I was comparing my process to other people's, like comparing my process to my friends, my colleagues. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with me? How do they just, like, my friend, I was recording an online course. And my friend's like, oh, just go into the studio and just bang it out in a day. And I'm like, and I like froze. I was like, I'm a failure. I am horrible at what I do. I can't do anything. I'm pretending to be an adult. how does he go into the studio and do and create anything in a day? It took me a month. You know, like,
yeah.
I understand, the more information I have about the uniqueness of my process, the more acceptance I can bring to it.
Totally.
And the more I can actually allow my you know, like what needs to be expressed through me, the more I can actually trust that that is coming mm-hmm. and that will be expressed at the correct time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so a- does this pose a problem with collaborations, or are you a little bit of a lone wolf, or like, I guess, does it pose a problem ever? Or
I need collaborations. I mostly create on my own, but working with either like an assistant or working with a colleague on a project to provide sort of like that
structure,
extra pressure for mm-hmm. me to get into the process.
Oh yeah, yeah, you did say that. Okay,
that can be really helpful, and it can also be really helpful because I don't have a lot of like daily energy. So like I just on like an energy type level, like the moment when I got super into this was when my friend said, oh, you're not here to work. You're here to work. Like you can work, like you're on average, you work about like 3 to 4 hours a day. And that's probably all you got. Mm. Like deeply focused short bursts. Like you can't do an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
You could, but it wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't feel good. You would feel really burned out. Really glad I didn't go to law school. That was my trajectory.
Oh, Lord.
Would not have gone well for me personally.
Yeah.
So like I work well, like if I can kind of borrow someone's energy, cause like there's other energy types that like, you know, they're like, they like refuel their battery every day and they can like really get into it and create and like, mm-hmm. and like work with sustained energy and focus.
You have kinetic energy, other people, but, you have kinetic, it's kinetic, like other people, yeah. Like energize.
I need movement to get me no. moving.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's, I need to know mine.
Yeah.
I can't list it all here, but there's some things that, that you've mentioned that I was like realizing about myself. I'm like, oh crap, I gotta like that. Like the invitation thing. I mean, I wouldn't even know. I don't want to believe that that exists. Right. Cause it's so like, it's just because I don't want to believe it exists because it happens to me. And yeah. I don't like that it happens to me. I want to be in control of things, but like I met my wife super easy and I never dated. Like I never had to go on. I never did the dating scene. I just kind of met my wife or had girlfriends, but All of those, they fell into my lap. And I only looked at one house before I bought it. And I never sought out a representation. Drew just called me and, like, I have a problem with this. I thought about it a lot. Like, things come super easy for me. And I hate saying that.
No.
But I do, because it's so hard for other people.
It might be, you know, not knowing what your type is, of course, and whether the invitation thing is the vibe for you. But, like, it might be that you are living in alignment with your energy and you are living in alignment with what is natural for you. And as such, your life flows in a particular way. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the best possible way to live. Like yeah, lean in, man, lean in, love it. What a joy.
Maybe you're right. Look, somebody has passed out the struggle, the man versus man versus nature. Mine's, Is when you battle yourself, is that man versus man?
Yeah. Or man versus self, I think is what it's
man
called.
Versus self, man versus man, man versus nature. Yeah. I if there was a book called Man Versus Self, I would be on the cover like this with devil horns standing
I'm,
on
I'm visualizing that because you're still frozen.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I can't believe I'm frozen.
Because
things tend to just sort of happen. It's not like I don't try to make things happen. I just get lucky, which is a perfect catalyst to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Except Dave is such a dick to Dave. It is difficult to like be me, to put it simply, like in my head, gosh, I wish I should just write down all the thoughts I have during a day. which is basically just the worst thoughts you can have about yourself. Mm. So, and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. It's just like, sometimes I'm like, dude, what is your freaking problem? It's like, what? It's like, well, you're me. What's your problem? Oh. You know? And I can't get out of my own way.
Oh, we must be kind to ourselves, my friend.
I don't know how to do that.
For one, I don't know. I mean, lean in, like really celebrate all that is you. Nah. Like celebrate all of your excellence and all of your uniqueness.
How do you even go about doing that?
Oh my God. Well, this is something that my husband, is not the same as me, in terms of like his self-talk stuff. My self-talk is like absurdly positive. It's like, I just am like my own cheerleader over here. I'm like, you are doing great today, Hillary. Look at you. You put on a shirt. You made coffee last night. You prepped for this. Oh my goodness, Hillary, look at you being a grown up, living in a house. Like, I just go off on singing my own praises.
But you know what? If I did that, if I did that, and like Dave and Dave were having a good time, other Dave, Dick Dave, would be like this.
I can't see it.
And I would be like,
slow clapping.
And me and like Fun Dave would like hear the slow clap and be like, what? Like, you made coffee. Good for you. Like, dude, come on. Like, can't we just have like one day? Like, what? No, you made coffee. That's freaking great. Honestly, you cured cancer. Like, okay, so I didn't cure. Like, it really is like living with a huge hassle.
So much of it is practice, though, Dave, because I totally get you. Like, I am such a cynic when it comes to this stuff, but I did this thing. It's like so lame, but I just randomly started saying, like, today's the best day ever. Like, whenever literally the most minuscule good thing happened to me, fully ironically, like, I'd be like, best day ever, best day ever. And then now I genuinely think it makes me happier. Like, when I'll like get a good coffee and be like, oh my God, today's the best day ever. And all my friends make fun of me, but now I think I like think it genuinely. And
like you
I think,
say it.
Yeah, out loud. I'll be like, best day ever.
Well, I don't do that part. You guys are telling me that if you do this simple thing, because I've never tried it.
Positivity bias. The brain has an innate negativity bias.
Okay.
And we have neuroplasticity. Like, we can change our brains. Our brain is hardwired to be focused on the negative, and we can shift that.
With some like self-propaganda, just holding up a sign to our brain that's like, no, it's actually good in our brain.
Like, as Andrea was saying, like, about like orienting your attention towards the positive, like orienting your attention towards gratitude, towards beauty, towards, I do like a lot of this. I teach mantra meditation, like chanting, like out loud chanting to Hindu deities. You know, like, this is another one of my hyphens. And like, when you train yourself to see the beauty in each moment, to orient yourself towards beauty.
That's easy. Like, for me. I can do that. I can do that.
But like, speak it, you know, speak it and feel it. Explore connecting to the felt sensation, to the somatic experience of beauty, of joy, of gratitude, of generosity. And it shifts the way you move through the world, and it shifts your inner energy, but it also shifts how you express your energy outward. And it spreads that in the world. And it's like, it's the most mundane sort of be the change you wish to see vibe, but like, it's real. Like, if you go to the coffee shop and you take a sip of that coffee and you're like, oh my God, this coffee, wow. And you like feel it and you connect to it and you like smile and you say like, this coffee is awesome, right? Like, it changes how you feel. It changes the neurochemistry of what's happening in your body. And the more you lean into that, like, the more it becomes your baseline.
My son does this. I'm just realizing it. And I want to ask you something, but he'll like, it snowed and he'll go outside and he'll be like, it's so beautiful. Dad, look, it's so beautiful out here. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's like, look at the trees. Like, yeah. The snow's so healthy. Like, it's making the branch, like, bend in this really cool way. Oh, it's so pretty. Yeah. And I'll just be like, it's just snow.
No. Like, lean in. Like, follow that thread, you know? And, like, and when you're with your friends or, you know, like, my friends have, I've always done this. Like, this has been, for better or worse, and sometimes for annoying. like, this has always been my way. Like, when I'm, when I hang out with my friends, like, I'm like, oh my God, guys, I'm having so much fun. This is so much fun right now. Are you having fun? I love today. Like, they make fun of me.
Yeah.
Because it's so absurd how excited I get about life. But, like, this is the counterbalance to, like, deep existential despair, you know? Like, I have both. Don't get it twisted. I am dark.
Okay, good.
Like,
well, not
the
good
point of nihilism. Like, I don't have fury and rage. I have, like, what's I don't know if we can curse here, but, like,
no, go for it.
Like, what's the fucking point? Like, yeah. It's so dumb. How long is this gonna last anyway? This is, God, I have to do this again. Like, I've always felt that my entire life since early childhood, like, this, like, ugh, life. But on the flip side, like, I have this, like, deep joy that I intentionally lean into because it buffers me against that darkness.
So, okay, this is very interesting. You've done it your whole life. Andre, you said you started doing this.
Yeah.
Were you skeptical at first? And then
absolutely. Also, again, I can't shut up about TikTok because it's like all my brain does all day. But it's like a TikTok trend to be like, oh, I started doing positive habits ironically. And, like, that's how you get yourself to do it. And, like, I swear that's how I force myself into good habits is, like, I start doing it, like, making fun of it just because that's, like, you know, I'm a Gen Z, like, kind of cynical, annoying, think everything is funny, think everything's a joke.
I love annoying as one of the bullet points.
For all of Gen Z. Sorry, guys. But yeah.
We got millennial, Gen Z, and are you Gen X, Dave?
I was born in 1976.
So you're Gen X.
Yeah, I'm a 90s.
You said it all.
Yeah.
I'm 84.
Love it.
Yeah.
98?
Nice.
Gen X is the forgotten generation.
Yeah.
We are the ones who understand everything.
Yeah, my husband.
And nobody asks us. It's like, well, you know, I am a generation that spent half my life without the internet and half with it. I might have a perspective like, nah, we don't want it. It's like, okay, well, we're the ones. Are the ones.
Yeah, and Gen X has a lot.
Yeah.
A lot to share.
So the
TikTok trend, I didn't know that was a TikTok trend.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. No, it's people literally being like, I started waking up at 7 a.m. as a joke, and, like, now I just do it. Or, like, you know, I started going running as a
hilarious
joke, and now I just do it. But that's seriously, like, how it started for me. Like, I just started saying it ironically, or, like, yeah, I get in trouble with my friends because I say a lot of things that sound disingenuous because they're, like, so hyperbolic. Like, I'll be like, you are just, like, so smart. Like, you're doing so well, and, like, I'm so proud of you. But it's, like, serious, and they think that I'm joking, and I'm like, no, I'm being serious. But it all started from, like, a place of, you know, oh, I'm so positive and whatever. And then eventually, like, it just becomes a part of your, like, the way that you think about things. So, like,
is it painful to get out though? Like, is it hard to say at first?
No, because I think it's funny. Like, at first when I started being like, oh, it's the best day ever. Like, my friends would laugh, I would giggle. You know, it was, like, a funny thing that I did of, like, hyperbolically being like, this tiny good thing that happened to me just made my whole life, and, like, today's the best day ever. And then now I'm just like, you know, it's great, like, this is lit, I'm so happy,
and this is lit. Yeah, like, that's I get that so hard. Like, it really does work. Like, it really does, and it spreads joy. Mm-hmm. You know, and the world is super messed up.
Yeah,
like, if we can spread a little bit of joy, you
absolutely
know,
it's
we might
it
as well. It costs nothing. It's,
and,
like,
even if it's just people thinking that I'm being silly, like, if people think that I'm being, you know, facetious and they laugh at it, like, whatever, sure.
Great. Enjoy that little,
yeah.
Enjoy that laugh. Enjoy that little giggle. That's serotonin. How
exactly.
Nice.
So it started off like not being a compliment that you were actually feeling. It was just something like, I'm gonna say this thing that I know is positive. I kind of feel it,
yeah,
but not as much as
I would take it to like the extreme. And like, yeah, normally I would be like, good coffee, move on. But just like, yeah, taking that moment to be like, this is the best thing ever. And like, I'm so happy about it. At first, not like as a joke, but it felt disingenuous because I wasn't used to doing it. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is kind of silly. Like, I feel silly. This isn't that big of a deal. But then like, as you just keep doing it, you're like, yeah, why can't this coffee make my whole day? Like,
okay. So here's one of the problems. This is a Gen X problem.
Yeah.
Like one of our lines of code or code that we live by is like, it might as well be keep it as real as possible in every single moment of existence. And I know. So it's really hard for me. Like when I was telling you that when I start making reels, I'll never use what's popular,
mm-hmm,
music. Like I'll always use music that I like, even if that means that I'm going to miss out on a bunch of followers or people seeing my stuff. I'd rather represent myself truthfully, which is fine, but it's almost to a degree like somebody's keeping score and nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, Dave, why can't you have some throwaway moments where you just really lean into the big happy comment or something I've noticed or compliment? Like, but I don't know. That would be hard for me. Yeah. Is my point.
I get that though. Like with the authenticity, like, you know, remain being for me personally, like integrity and authenticity are everything. Like that's my core values are integrity, authenticity, and joy.
Sure.
Like, so I'm with you. Like I can't do, I've done like 5 reels and they've actually been fun, but like I'm with you. Like I go through the trending audio and I'm like, oh no, absolutely not. Look at all these idiots doing these stupid, ridiculous, waste of time video. Like I can be, I have a darkness, Dave.
Yes.
Don't get it twisted.
No, like, I'm glad to hear it, actually.
Yeah, but like, I'm so with you. And I think that that's really important to like find your authentic expression. And like, if you can't fake it till you make it, if you don't want to go that route,
yeah,
like, you know, lean into with your son, you know, like that's a really, really great way to explore this in a way that, you know, could feel genuine. Like when your son says, look at the branches covered in snow and you're like, okay. And you like, look at it. And the closer you look, the more incredible it is,
yeah,
you know, and the more it becomes a genuine experience and the more it becomes like, and then you can let that feeling fill you up. And from there, who knows, you know?
Yeah. Family is, that's a good suggestion. I told my youngest son today, my wife got, she got educator of the year for her school district this morning.
Awesome.
Wow.
She's the best like high school history teacher ever. She's so good. She has all these like innovative ideas and people are finally, the district is taking notice, and which is great. So me and my sons went over to her school today and like all like people that I've never seen before, big group of people, like accolades and an award. And so came home, got to take my youngest son to school after our fun morning. And I looked at him, I was like, you know what? I know it sounds weird, but I look up to you in a lot of ways. And he's like, how? He's like, I'll at 10. I was like, well, you are super consistent. Like you wake up at the same time every day and you always get your homework done and you're always peaceful and you're always nice. I can always depend on you to be kind and loving. And I just love that about you. And I want to be that way. And I look up to you in that respect, son. He's young, so he's like, okay, whatever. but for me, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I want to say. Like I want to share something real. And with my family, I don't care if they get sick of me. Maybe I'll just like riddle them with compliments and
yeah.
Cause I want to tell them all the time. And I kind of
do.
Oh
my God, do it. That's like, that's what's shaping your children's psyche.
Yeah.
Like, tell them all the time. Like,
how God, awesome they are.
For the future of the world. Tell them all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I joke around a lot. And maybe, like I told my other son this morning, that I'm going to take him into a field and shoot him in the chest with a shotgun. Like my 14-year-old.
One step forward, three steps back. Am I right?
Well, I wasn't mad. He was just, he was saying something and I was like, keep it up. And then I said that. And it's funny, or maybe in my mind, I'm like, well, this is me being the dad. They're going to look back on this comment, but it's kind of a wasted comment. Like I could have, he doesn't care. Like my kids know me. Yeah, maybe just turn that ship around a little bit. Like they know I tell them I love them all the time, but maybe less comments about I'm gonna shooting punch you so hard that your teeth are gonna fly at the back of your head. It used to make
I'm
them
gonna
laugh.
Hug you so hard.
Yeah. Go.
I'm gonna hug you so hard your eyes are gonna pop out.
Yeah.
Watch that's you love you.
That's the way to do it. Cause it doesn't make them laugh anymore. Now they're just kind of like, Dad, stop. Like stop it. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Flip the scripts. I love that.
Balance it out. okay. I love how we just spent an entire hour talking about one question.
Oh my God.
Like I said, we could literally do this forever probably, but I don't want to take up too much of your time, Hillary, because I know you've got things to do.
I don't.
love that for you. And I'm even more jealous.
I have like two things on my calendar today besides this, and they're like later.
So wildly jealous of you. And that life. But as we wrap up, quick question. Can you tell the people where they can find you if they're looking to learn more?
Yeah. Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about sleep.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You will have to come back.
We didn't. This was super loose. We've actually never had it so loose. It was kind of fun, though.
I loved it.
We kind of took your advice. We just went with it.
We really did.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We'll have to circle back and talk about sleep and creativity, because that was the whole thing.
Come back. We'll talk about
it. Yeah. I would love that. This was wildly fun.
I'm so glad.
And I want to hear all about how you start shifting this negativity bias, Dave, and change that brain. Neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a sleeper. That's my new thing. I'm going to start sleeping.
Yeah, that is essential. Oh, I see me wanting to talk about that. Yeah. So if anybody wants to connect, can find me on Instagram. I'm at MeditationChick. And my website is the same. My website's been under construction for a year and a half now. So it's just a landing page. My creative process, as I mentioned, is very, very slow. almost ready to launch, but I'm not rushing it. You know, there's no external time-bound pressure. And this has been the process. And, you know, I have continued to receive opportunities without a website somehow. So,
yeah.
So yeah, you can reach out via email if you want to schedule a human design reading. I have a bunch of meditations available for free on Insight Timer, which is a meditation app if you're not familiar, and including some meditations specifically for sleep to help you kind of let go of the day and let go of rumination. And yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Check those out.
I know. I was going to say, Dave's running.
I need all the help I can get. Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep deeply with Yoga Nidra, Dave. That's the go. It's a crowd pleaser.
Love it.
I put a lot of people to sleep with that one.
Okay. All right.
That's good. Well, thank you so much, Hillary. It was such a joy having you on. We need to do this again sometime, because we always joke that these are like Dave's interventions, but this is probably the most successful intervention we've had for him to date. It was great though. Thank you so much for all your wisdom.
For reals. It was great.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to connect with you both. And I'm so happy to have been invited.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it again. We got to talk about sleep. That's a big deal.
Totally.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co. But wait, before you go, we've got something super special for those of you looking for more opportunities to grow your creative career. Head to the show description and join the community. An interactive space to share information, gather resources, and build relationships with other creatives and us here at CNC.